Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Takes the snap, quick hitter, thrown behind but somehow caught, and now lateral to Allen and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown! Unbelievable! A catch by Amari Cooper, a lateral to Josh Allen, and he runs the remaining 5 yards for the score. Have you ever seen that one before?
Certainly a candidate for play of the year for the Bills. It's our final regular season football Friday. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. I've asked a couple different things today to kind of wrap up the year. Like, what's the greatest, what's the best success? The biggest, I don't want to say surprise, but whatever. What has gone as good as it could? And what has left you wanting more? 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Have a bunch of answers to this. A lot of people writing back in on Twitter, give our answers. You know, we flowers for Joe Brady and what he did with this offense, how it's really all come together. And the name I teased going to the break, the name that was really disappointing or left wanting more, an awful lot of Dalton Kincaid mentions.
Yeah.
Because he's just not really a big part of what they do. I mean, I guess you could make the case he's in there with everybody eats and you don't want, I don't know, but for a first-round tight end, best pass catcher in this draft, he's very rarely a big part of a game. And I think there are people out there that think there's still plenty more to unlock in there, and maybe that happens in a playoff game. Maybe there's a matchup they like somewhere along the way. But, you know, 44 catches, 448 yards.
I wonder, too, though, because have they tried to make him a bigger part of the game and it's just hasn't worked? Because, like, there are so many numbers that point to, man, this number two among all tight ends in unrealized air yards with 400.
There is a weird thing. Allen, when he throws the ball away, I texted you this during the game.
You did, yeah.
Was it the, it was this last week
because he threw a ball away that was in the direction of Kincaid, but it was it was a mile out of bounds.
The unrealized air yards, some of those, I don't think they're Allen missed the target.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, maybe it's just me, an oddly high number of his throwaways while running are throwaways toward Kincaid that have no chance of being caught. Like, on that's up and Allen throws it away, and the nearest guy is Kincaid. Does that go as, like, unrealized air yards? I don't know.
That might be the case, and I feel like that would be unfair. There are definitely targets, though, that are just, they are not on the same page. Allen throws it low. Kincaid's a little higher than he should be, or maybe Allen, you know, just missed it. Whatever it is. Some of them might be, again, like, Allen doesn't throw the ball in high volume to tight ends. Like, he almost feels like sometimes he throws the ball to Kincaid like he's a wide receiver, but He isn't. He's not as fast as a wide receiver. You have to throw the ball in a different place because he's not moving as fast as Amari Cooper is when he's running across the middle. So, yeah, I'll look. Maybe they'll find like how many of those are throwaways, but man, like true catch percentage. Yeah, these are all at the tight end position. True catch percentage, 27th in the NFL. Contested catch rate, 23rd in the NFL. I mentioned that unrealized air yards stat for him. I mean, snap share, 32nd. Route participation, 18th.
Yeah.
You know, that might point to he's just not on the field as much. Targets, 13th. There's just nothing here that looks great. He's number one among all tight ends in deep targets. That's a little surprising. How many of those are catches, though? Like, none of them?
Not many.
One or two?
Can remember him missing Kincaid against the Texans. I think it's the Texans.
Yeah,
so that's a long time ago.
I'm just, man. It just does. And then, of course, catchable target rate, 35th among tight ends, 65%. There was a point in the year where he had the most uncatchable targets in the league. And again, maybe some of those are throwaways, but I don't know. That is maybe the most disappointing. I'm surprised they've been able to be as good as they are offensively with the Kincaid part of their offense just not really hitting.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest drop in catch percentage from one year to the next by a tight end like ever.
803-0550. The other thing I was looking at, I'm looking at the Baltimore game. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the game? What do you remember about Baltimore?
The trick play, the Henry touchdown right at the start to kind of set the tone, right? I remember Baylen Spector being in the game and getting picked on relentlessly. And I remember the Bills not being able to do anything on offense.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a forgotten point.
Like, their only big play the whole game was a broken play, Allen right against the sideline, right? To Shakir?
Yeah, deep.
That's, like, the only thing they did the whole game, it felt like.
Yeah, Allen threw 16 of 29 for 180. No touchdowns. No picks. He got sacked 3 times. That's what's amazing.
Yeah, that never happens.
He got sacked 14 times the entire year. And he got sacked 3 times in Baltimore. So, you know, I was just thinking about this Baltimore matchup and, you know, whether it's the Chiefs or the Ravens or the Bengals or, you know, who else could they meet in the playoffs? Like, these are the three teams people, I think, give a shot to beat the Bills. The Bengals aren't even in the playoffs, and people would give them a shot or be a little bit, whatever, respectful of a Joe Burrow offense.
Yeah.
For Baltimore, Baltimore and Buffalo are tied, of course, by the MVP conversation, and the more interesting thing that will ultimately be determined at the end of this year is which of these quarterbacks goes farther. Because the way that the bracket will line up is that one of them should make the AFC Championship game. And that's either going to be 2 in a row for Lamar or Allen getting back there for the first time. And then, you know, playoff Lamar is still kind of a thing. He did not have a strong AFC Championship game against the Chiefs last year. So these two teams and it's almost like they're at a crossroads or whatever. Like, only one is going to get to add to their story. And if it's go to Kansas City to play the Chiefs, here we go. Yeah. If this Baltimore game that the Bills had back early in the season happened, what would the offseason be about? Stopping the run? Henry ran for 199 in that game.
Mm-hmm.
A pretty big day. 85, of course, on the first carry. And then the rest of the carries, still a good day. That's 23 for 114. Like, that's still pretty good, too.
Yeah.
So he ran all over their faces in this game. Baylen Spector is in it. Like, again, they're missing pieces.
Yeah, right. They're missing. They have two. They had, I mean, you might say Dorian Williams is actually maybe even a better option, but they had two different linebackers in that game than they might have the next time they play him.
Yeah.
Right, like you had Spector and Williams, and you might have Bernard and Milano. And there's good signs about Milano from last week, so that would help. Sal mentioned last hour, like, the next time they see Baltimore, maybe they go 3 linebackers a lot. And Williams might be important to that because he's the 3rd linebacker. He also, man, like, if you are gonna do that, you got to be, like, if I'm Baltimore, I know exactly what I would do. Every single time the Bills have 3 linebackers out there, I am dropping back to pass, and I'm going to try to pick them apart. And you might think Lamar would have a huge advantage in terms of scrambling if there's a 3rd linebacker out there. The one thing I do like about Williams is how athletic he is. like a 4.48 40 time or something. Like, he ran a faster 40 time than more than half the Bills wide receivers. Like, he might be somebody that could do okay. Maybe. I mean, speed-wise, he's there where he could do okay with Jackson. You might also think he's undisciplined enough where Jackson would just destroy him in the open field. So, that's why they terrify me. I don't know that there's a good option. Go ahead, put three linebackers on the field and stop Derrick Henry. I would rather they continue to play nickel and say that Jackson is the one we are not going to let go off against us. We'll do our best. We'll hope Bernard being back in will be the big difference between Henry going off and not. Henry has had a couple big runs against the Bills in the past, but he has not been this unstoppable force every time he's played them. A lot of his production is on a couple runs, and the Bills have largely played nickel in all those games. You might say Tennessee's different, but I don't know. I'm pretty afraid of them no matter what, even knowing they'll have advantages in this game, the Bills will, that they didn't have available to them earlier in the season.
Looking at Derrick Henry's career splits against the Bills. In his career,
yeah,
he's played the Bills six times. He's at 93 yards per game on the ground.
Okay.
On like 18 attempts.
I bet that's lower than his average. No?
It's not bad. He's got a couple teams. He averages 100 yards. Like, he averaged 100 against Jacksonville and Seattle and Washington. But in six games, 93 yards. Like, Henry's something to, of course, be afraid of. The thing about that game that you remember, the 85-yard touchdown run, of course.
Yep.
And Baltimore that game had no problem doing anything. They had lots of long drives. So while they hit the Bills early with an 85-yard touchdown run on the first play, there's a one-play drive. Their next drive was 9 plays, 70 yards, and then 10 plays, 81 yards. And then in the second half, 6 plays, 59 yards, 6 plays, 62 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They did not get short fields. They just did whatever they wanted to. And for the Bills to beat Baltimore in the divisional round, if it comes to that, you know, here we are ahead of not just, you know, this game against the Patriots, but now moving past a potential game of the Broncos. If they get to the divisional round and play Baltimore, you will need your defense to be a lot different, and you will need your offense to be a lot different. I mean, Allen 180, and they did not run the ball well at all. That's back in a time when Baltimore's pass defense was giving up huge plays,
yeah,
and the Bills had nothing. So you kind of hope this, the evolution of this offense, the growth of Keon Coleman, the introduction of Amari Cooper, like, but that it makes this game very different than the first one. I almost want to say the first matchup means almost nothing. How much should I put in it? I feel like I want to put almost nothing in the first matchup. I know who Derrick Henry is. I know who Lamar is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're a very good team. They present some problems, but the first matchup, I mean, everything went Baltimore's way, in part because the Bills played terribly. There's no doubt about that.
What did Baltimore do in that game? They took away the middle of the field, and they said, go ahead, I dare you to throw it to the outside.
And Shakir was hurt in this game.
He was hurt in early on, too.
Right, but this was back at the low point of Mac Hollins, where,
yep,
you know, he's a nice role player. In this game, Baltimore, he had six targets and had one catch for 5 yards.
That's what I mean.
Like, yeah.
They were saying, go ahead, throw it to him. Throw it to him, throw it to the outside, and now it would be tested, right? Like, the Bills are much better personnel-wise for that right now. If Baltimore said the same thing, well, we're taking away the middle, go ahead, throw it to the sideline, see if you can do it.
Yeah,
like, the Bills are going to be better off now, but, like, are we sure that's going to be good enough to carry them?
You mentioned Shakir and how he was hurt in that game, playing hurt.
Even on the touchdown, he was hurt.
He didn't have a touchdown this game. You're thinking
he didn't
about,
have a deep one?
No, he had a 52-yard catch.
Oh, it went down to like the one or something?
Yes, okay. It got deep into Ravens territory. But the rest of the game, outside of that broken play, like, think of how Shakir has often been an easy button for Allen. If you take away that one big broken play, Shakir in that game had 4 targets and 3 catches for 10 yards. Yeah. So they had next to nothing against Baltimore the first time. And I just do think that now I know it's the same offense, but it's just a different offense to me.
No, it is. There was no Cooper. Did Coleman play in that game? I don't remember any plays by him.
He did play in that game.
Okay. But you've got Cooper, and like that is that not why they traded for him?
Well,
in a game like that where a team dares you to do that, you traded for Cooper, like, what, 10 days after that game? The Houston game, obviously, too. Or no, actually, because of the Jet game also. So maybe it was a few weeks after. But whatever. You traded for Amari Cooper for that spot.
Yeah.
For a team like Baltimore to dare you to do it. And then, okay, well, now we have a guy we could do it with.
There's one other thing that jumps off the page looking at this box score of the first Baltimore game. How many catches from running backs?
I mean, they threw the ball. Didn't they have to throw the ball a lot because they were down?
They threw the ball 29 times. I mean, Allen had 29 attempts. How many targets? We're gonna do targets for running backs or catches for running backs?
I don't remember a certain play, so how many?
One.
One catch or one target?
One target.
One target?
One target.
Wow.
Isn't that something that's,
yeah, that's crazy.
Very different now? You might feel like, I mean, Ty Johnson was not a part of their offense in this game. He didn't get a target, didn't get a catch.
Did he get a touchdown, though?
James Cook had one catch for 9 yards. Ty Johnson had a touchdown, a 3-yard rushing touchdown.
I think he finished off the Shakir drive, okay, or the Shakir play. But okay, but not involved in the pass game, which is his thing.
Right.
So.
And it's almost like this offense has kind of evolved over the course of the year.
Yeah.
You know, from that was back when Everybody Eats was like, oh, yeah, sure, everybody eats.
Oh, that was like
the low point of it.
Yeah. Easily.
Lots has changed, including their willingness to incorporate running backs and all that.
That 2-week stretch, really, like, because remember, Allen had the worst completion percentage in like 30 years for like a certain qualification the next week against Houston. Like, maybe, like, if Shakir getting injured, like, I wonder how impactful that really was. Because he's put up good numbers this year. I don't think he's like an elite receiver, but he is very good. He is certainly the Bills' best player at the position, and he got hurt early on against Baltimore, and then he didn't play against Houston, and look what it looked like. Now, I know Cooper's different too, but look what it looked like when Shakir was either not able to be himself or wasn't on the field at all. Like, they couldn't do anything.
Mike and Tonawanda's up. Hey, Mike, good morning. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you guys. Actually, I'm taking the words right out of your mouth. I honestly feel like that game earlier this season was just like an outlier game, because if you look at it, I remember not too long ago, we were saying how McDermott matches up well against Lamar. Lamar never really has his best games against the McDermott defense. I mean, just look back at the matchups over the years. Even Lamar's MVP season in 2019, yeah, the Ravens won the game, but we're the only team that really kind of put him in check that year other than that playoff game they lost, the Ravens did. But, like, even you look at the one 2 years ago in Baltimore when we were down like 20-3 and we came back and won that game, I just think the one earlier this season was just a one-off, to be honest with you. Like, I mean, could we still lose to them if we played in the division round? Sure. But I don't expect it to be anything close to what that was. And I expect Buffalo to beat Baltimore next time around for all the reasons you guys just said.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thinking about the previous Lamar games, like, he was fine, of course, in this game. His passer rating was 135. But again, they're playing from in front. Henry is eating. They're two-dimensional every single way. He was 13 of 18 for 156.
Henry, by the way, like, he's really only gone off in two of the six meetings against the Bills. I'm looking, like, starting 2018 and then moving on, most of these are more recent than that. 11 for 56, fine. 20 for 78, fine. 19 for 57, great. 20 for 143 and 3 touchdowns. Tough.
Is that Tennessee?
That's Tennessee. These are all Tennessee
games. These are all Tennessee so far. Because Tennessee...
Right, Tennessee's different. 13 for 25.
Yeah,
like, that's great.
At the end of his time there, their line was a mess. And now he's in a place where, of course, it's a better ecosystem for him.
That's right. But even in the middle, like, in his prime, like, the year they're the one seed, and they beat the Bills, or is this a different game? They're getting mixed up. But in Tennessee, he went off against the Bills one time.
Yeah.
So I know different offense, different threats. You can key in on it a little more if you want. Jackson's history against the Bills, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do with Jackson on anything historical, because if I do that, I have to think he's going to not perform when he gets to the playoffs. And the way he's playing right now, I'm not betting on that. I don't want to. If it happens, like, it's going to become a real strong narrative of his. But.
Right, because he's having the best year of his career.
Yeah, and the way that looks, I don't want to bet on his playoff struggles continuing. Eventually, they won't.
Yeah. I mean, we could just get an old-fashioned shootout where both quarterbacks play great and somebody loses.
And the Bills win a classic, like, 42-36 or something.
My heart
can't. Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't take it. 803-0550, it's Football Friday. You want to give us a call on this? We're not exactly previewing Bills-Ravens, but you know, we're kind of talking about
it. We kind of just
I guess that happens.
I mean, it's probably going to happen, right? What are the odds right now? What would you say? Just guessing. Like, is it 80% that they're going to play in the divisional round? Is that too high?
That might be a little high, but the thing of it is, we don't know who the first-round opponent is, and we have a pretty good idea what the second-round opponent would be. Aren't you more confident you know?
Yeah.
The second round than you do the first?
Well, for it not to be Baltimore, you need one of two things to happen. That means either lose to the Cleveland Browns with Bailey Zappe this
or
week,
lose their first round matchup to the Chargers.
Which is the more likely
outcome
if something does happen. Yeah, so maybe it's not 80, but
803-0550. Then of course they could play Pittsburgh. And the Bills could be playing Pittsburgh and the Chargers. Or no, they play Pittsburgh.
No, if Pittsburgh were to win, then they would play the winner of Houston and LA.
No, we're mixing it all up. I'm talking about if Pittsburgh went to Baltimore in the playoffs and won.
Yeah.
And then the Chargers beat the Texans.
The Bills would play the Chargers.
The Chargers are the 7? No, because the Chargers are the...
Be the 5.
5, right. And
Chiefs are the highest
6.
Seed. They play the lowest, which Pittsburgh. Yep.
Too many... This reseeding. I'm too old for this now. Reseeding hurts my brain.
Should they go to a bracket?
No. Reseeding is good. I support reseeding. 803-0550. We'll check in with Chris Brown when we get back and continue chatting. You know, hey, if you want to chat Bills Ravens or Bills Patriots or Bills insert team here for the opening round, let's do it. How much did that first Baltimore game really mean? I guess that's what we got to there. 803-0550, Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
Good morning, happy new year, happy Football Friday. Jeremy and Joe. And joining us on the Western Hotline, Chris Brown. I'm just seeing this today. Maybe you guys had this for later today. Happy anniversary to the comeback game, 1993, this day in history, Chris. The Bills' historic comeback over the Houston Oilers.
Yeah, and we were just talking about the 7-year anniversary the other day of the end of the drought.
Yeah.
You know, in that game with the Dolphins and then watching Cincinnati beat Baltimore. So, yeah, this is the time of the year, right?
Yeah. And the Bills have been adding with playoff wins the last few seasons, some great moments. The win over Baltimore in the COVID year with 10,000 people there, the Taron Johnson pick six, and the perfect game against the Patriots. Like, a lot of these dates are coming up, and we are getting closer and closer to seeing what this year has to bring. It's tough to wait. You know, one more week, though, against the Patriots in a game that may prove to be a bit odd from New England's side of things. And I like that the Bills have something to shoot for and are openly talking about this touchdown record to see if they can get somebody else into the end zone.
Yeah, looking for a 14th different player to get in there. So we shall see. I mean, I don't know that they have KJ Hamler, who's a receiver on the practice squad, who hasn't exhausted his maximum of 3 elevations here in the regular season. Shavers has, and so is Virgil. So they're not options to elevate from the practice squad this week, and you can only elevate 2 players. So I'm very curious to see what they decide in terms of the positions they choose to elevate from the practice squad this week, because Coach McDermott was asked earlier in the week, are you going to get Mike White up to serve as the backup to Mitchell Trubisky so Josh can really just kind of take a day off? And they're like, we're not sure. We're still working through the 2 players we're going to elevate from the practice squad to get a longer look at. So it's a little bit of a balancing act.
Yeah, that's the piece in the puzzle together. I was taken aback by that too, but it makes sense why it might not be as easy to just put Mike White in there. So when it comes to that, Chris, like it's talked like this is almost preseason-esque, but you really can't do it all the way because of the roster constraints. So with that being said, like, we'll probably see some starters in this game, but maybe it's more of the rookies and, you know, some of the younger guys.
Yeah, and, you know, you can only dress 48 on game day, so you do have to be strategic. So Yeah, I would anticipate you're going to see some starters in there for the bulk of the game. And, you know, as best they can, they'll try to sub some of those guys out. And then, you know, you'll have people like Josh who's just going to have a token appearance. Maybe James Cook plays until he gets his 20-something yards to hit 1,000, or maybe punches a touchdown in to tie O.J. Simpson's rushing touchdown record in a single season. So we'll have to see how it all shakes out. But I think there are a lot of up-in-the-air decisions that we're not going to know until we get to the game on Sunday.
How do you feel about Milano for that? Because he maybe had his best game against the Jets, and they had talked about evaluating him as the season went on. So, I don't know. Do you feel like maybe they thought he showed enough against the Jets, or a few more reps wouldn't hurt him as he's still working back?
Yeah, I think what we saw from Milano last week was exactly what they were looking for. I think he showed them, hey, look, I'm ready to roll. I know I just had this little nagging groin thing that just cropped up too, in addition to the whole bulk of the season that I missed due to the biceps. But I think what he demonstrated last week against the Jets, you noticed him. Like, you saw him. He was around the football. His anticipation skills looked to be there. I would be surprised if he played on Sunday. I think he's going to be one of those guys that, if he plays, it'll be a series at most, but I wouldn't expect him to play much on Sunday either. I think he showed them what he needed to last week.
Chris Brown joining us. Chris, it's Pro Bowl time of the year. You know, we just talked about James Cook and the Pro Bowl balloting and the teams getting announced. I mean, every team's going to feel like, every fan base, that maybe somebody didn't get recognized. I do think James Cook has a really strong case to have been on that roster. And anytime, you know, you're going to put somebody on, you're going to take somebody off. I'd go Cook over Mixon for sure. I mean, Cook's had an incredible year for these Bills. You feel like he's the biggest omission off that roster, or are you more of a Benford guy who's not getting the recognition they maybe should?
Yeah, the Cook omission bothered me. I thought he should have been a starter, and I actually said that on the air yesterday. I thought he should have been on over Mixon. Mixon missed like a month of the season with a high ankle sprain, and look, you know, you can't blame him for injuries, but if you're not available, I mean, I remember Fred Jackson got screwed out of a Pro Bowl because he broke his leg. And he was headed to Pro Bowl and all that stuff, and it just disappeared because he ended up on injured reserve. So, you know, you miss some time and your numbers aren't the same. Sorry. And Cook outperformed him in almost every advanced rushing metric known to man, and also has 5 more touchdowns than him. So I just don't see my way to giving Joe Mixon that nod over Cook. So that one bothered me. And to not see Christian Benford anywhere, first alternate, third alternate, fourth alternate, like, that one surprised me a little bit too. I don't know if it's because his completion percentage against is high. I think it's somewhere around 65%. I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's a simple stat like that, but, or maybe just not having enough picks. He only has 2. But that one surprised me as well, knowing almost on a weekly basis he's locking up the number one receiver on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, I wondered why that too, because like draft status too, right? Like, it could factor in when it comes to like a Pro Bowl, especially over, like, I don't know the Benford being all pro, but it's different. Like, Tre'Davious White showed up and he got recognition kind of right away when he turned into the Bills' number one corner, but, you know, he had that status of being a first round pick in his back pocket.
Yes, he also made a lot of plays that first year in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember a fumble return for a touchdown against Atlanta. He had the pick to seal the win against the Chiefs, 16-10 on the road. So, I mean, he had made some game-altering plays in addition to, you know, just locking up another team's top receiver. So those are the kinds of – you need splash plays. And I don't know that – Benford's just so steady, people don't throw to him enough – or throw at him enough to really rack up those statistics. So he's kind of in a little bit of a bind there.
Bills fans probably this weekend watching tomorrow night, Cincinnati-Pittsburgh. We'll see if the Bengals stay alive for the playoff spot. And then after Bills-Patriots, it's about watching the Dolphins and the Broncos. Are you feeling like Denver is in a good spot here? I mean, I wonder how much Dolphins fans are feeling like they're alive, or Bengals fans feel like they're alive. You know, you never know, but they are playing backups in Kansas City in a team that doesn't really need it. And that 4 o'clock window, what do you think ultimately plays out?
Yeah, I want to believe that Denver will be juiced. I mean, it's very simple. They control their own destiny. Win and you're in. So I would anticipate their best effort. I think Sean Payton is known as an aggressive coach when the game is on the line, and the playoffs are on the line here, so I would anticipate he's going to be ultra-aggressive. And look, I know that the Steelers are going to know what their situation is before they even kick it off with the Ravens playing earlier. But I don't know. You guys tell me. I think if I'm the Steelers, I'm trying to win to go to Houston instead of going to Baltimore if the Ravens win their game. I mean,
absolutely.
You want to play the Ravens a third time? Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only defense of that would be they have such a good history against Baltimore. But to me, the way Houston looks right now, like, I would much rather want to play the Texans.
Yeah. And I think that's what gave the league the confidence to play them later than the Ravens, because usually they line those games up. So I was initially a little taken by that, but then I was like, if you're looking at what they'd be playing for if the Ravens won, there's still something arguably on the line there.
Are you following at all the kind of the mystery that's happening in Miami? Because that's a team that, you know, Denver's more likely, but by the odds, the Dolphins are the Bills' second most likely opponent now in the wild card round. And Tua is practicing, but McDaniel said they're preparing for Huntley to start. So, like, I don't know what to make of what's going on down there, but I guess it's possible that if the Bills see the Dolphins, it wouldn't be Tua under center. I don't even know how to handicap it.
Yeah, hard to know what he's going to look like next week if Miami gets in. Huntley had to play last week on a short week of practice because, if I remember right, Tua didn't really go down until Thursday in practice, and then Huntley all of a sudden is practicing Friday. They have to completely change the game plan. They're two very different quarterbacks, and he's able to win them a game last week. And, you know, now it might be the same situation playing out again, and you got to go up and play the Jets in New York. I think that's in New York, right? So,
yep. Yeah.
So that's an interesting dynamic going on there. The interesting thing, guys, because I started taking a look at these three potential playoff opponents for the Bills, is their defense has really rounded into form. They are top 10 across the board. Anthony Weaver has done marvelous things with that defensive unit since the Bills last played them in week 9. They are carrying that football team right now. Because Tyreek Hill still isn't right with his bad thumb. He's no longer the focal point of the offense. It's Achane. But that defense has really locked it down and made them capable of winning games by scoring 20 or 24 points, not 30 and 35. It's a transformation for them for sure.
Well, of course, wait to see if the Bills get it done for the extra touchdown against the Patriots and then the out-of-town scoreboard. And by Monday, we'll talk about a playoff matchup. Chris, thanks very much. Have a good call, and we'll talk Monday.
All right, sounds good, guys. Have a good weekend.
When we talk on Buffalo Bills football Monday, it'll be in preparation for the first round of the playoffs. I did get a tweet from somebody that I feel this a lot. When is it going to hit you that it's about to get a lot more intense? Like, this game means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. When will it hit you? Will it hit you when the Bengals win and the Broncos are losing?
I bet the moment we know who it is.
Yeah. As soon as it's Denver and it's okay. Sean Payton and Denver coming to town.
Yeah.
Yeah, the intensity is about to ramp up a millionfold. And the pressure is all right back on.
I'll be very curious if it is Miami, because it is. Do you find it strange? I think it is super strange what's happening. Like, he is practicing, but he's not playing in their most important game of the season. And I don't think they're that unlikely. They only need one thing to happen, other than, like, on out of town scoreboard. And yes, they need the Chiefs backups to win, but, like, even with Huntley, like, them beating the Jets is not a stretch. Are they even favored in that game? Maybe they wouldn't be because of Huntley, I don't know. But, like, them winning that game and getting one result on the out of town scoreboard, like, whatever. It's more likely than Cincinnati, is all I want to say about it, I guess.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us, Jeremy and Joe.
The Dolphins line's not up, by the way, which makes sense. Nope, there it is. Plus, minus 1.5. They are favored in New York. Minus 1.5.
All right. We'll get a break in the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy, the end of season edition coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. And come hang with us, Jeremy and Joe on WGR. All right. What's going on today? Anything? We got football tomorrow. That's good. There should be football tonight.
On a Friday?
Yeah.
And then the team making the playoffs, though, could get like a lot of rest on that.
I got news for you. Some teams.
Oh, no, they could play on Saturday.
Sure.
Actually, never mind. You could make that work.
Let's do it. I mean, give me a game tonight.
Did you ever see the finale of the 1999 season between the Panthers and the Packers?
Yeah.
It came down to point differential.
Yeah, Chris Berman doing like the breakdown of the minute by minute. Yeah.
I just watched that. Here's a take. They should make point differential the number one tiebreaker.
Yeah.
You want to make Week 18 more interesting? Teams having to watch the out-of-town scoreboard when they're up 30 against a meaningless opponent, and they've got to keep scoring because the team in, you know, Baltimore is putting up more points, and you got to keep up.
Yeah, not just scoring, but scoring and getting stops.
Right.
If you did that, the Bengals are a plus 36, the Broncos are a plus 76.
Yeah.
The Broncos are made.
So this year it wouldn't work?
No, wouldn't be that interesting. Yeah. Miami's a minus 7. They'd be out of it. Right. Yeah, it's not close enough on the scoreboard, so you might not get what you want out of it. All right. Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. When we return, it is January 3rd, anniversary of the comeback game. I remember that game. I was not at the game. I didn't live here. But I remember that game. Watching it on NBC. I think it was on NBC.
I've watched the whole game. I obviously don't remember it, but I've watched the whole game. Actually, I was there. Sorry. I was at the comeback game.
You were there?
Yeah. Everybody was.
Oh, okay. Let's see. What were you?
I was one of the 800,000 that was in attendance.
Weren't
that
you negative -3?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there.
All right.
I actually got back in.
You're minus...
Climbed the fence.
Minus 3 years old.
I'm just saying. All I hear, everybody everywhere made it into that game somehow.
Yeah. We'll get the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy coming up here on WGR.